This podcast brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Richard Abulafia. And Richard, you follow airline and airliner trends and the news surrounding them. Can you unravel this Bombardier countervailing duty thing that has happened with the U.S. Commerce Department? What's the understructure to all this?
Well, I wish there were something so elegant as an understructure to it. In reality, it's just sort of an unprecedented and potentially very problematic mess. Basically, Boeing decided to file a dumping complaint through the Commerce Department and the International Trade Commission, arm of the U.S. government, effectively a unilateral way of pursuing the kind of trade actions it's gone through the WTO before against Airbus. And for some reason, even though they asked for 80% dumping duties, the Commerce Department, in conjunction with the ITC, have decided that the correct number is 300%. They haven't provided a great deal of backup information on this, so there's a broad suspicion in Canada, and I think even in, among many Americans, that this is a highly politicized outcome. The Canadian government has vowed retaliation in the form of not executing on defense contracts, and the UK government, which of course has a stake in the C-Series through Northern Ireland and the former Short Brothers facility, has also vowed likely retaliation. So it's getting quite ugly. It all appears to be quite counterproductive for Boeing. But the good news, the only halfway elegant part of the structure, is that in February or before February, the ITC will decide whether or not Boeing was actually harmed by these so-called dumping measures. And if they decide that no, Boeing wasn't harmed, this whole thing vanishes like a bad dream.
Well, Boeing doesn't have a 100 to 150 seat airplane. All their airplanes are bigger than that. And what caused all this was the deal with Delta for up to 125 C-Series. If Boeing doesn't have any skin in the game, how can it claim that it's being harmed?
Well, it's a little more complicated. Delta has ordered the CS-100, which, of course, as you say, Boeing does not compete in that segment, not since 2006 when it delivered the last 717. However, it does have the 737 MAX 7, 130 seats. Not terribly popular, only three customers. And in one of life's little ironies, two of those three customers are Canadian. Now, it competes with the CS-300, which Delta has not ordered, but Boeing apparently has argued that this could happen, that in other words, Delta could switch to the CS-300 or other C-Series could be sold to the U.S. in the form of the CS-300, and that would compete with the 73 MAX 7. In theory, ITC and Commerce shouldn't deal with hypotheticals, but we'll find out soon enough whether they are.
Well, Boeing has been relatively open in saying they're doing this because they don't want to get caught the way they got caught with Airbus, allowing a small airframe into the U.S. and then watching the company blossom with that business. How fair an argument is that?
I think it's a monstrously foolish misreading of history, to be diplomatic. I think there's this belief among people who either, would rather not know reality or simply don't know anything of history that Airbus was suddenly created on some warm summer day in the middle of 1970 and proceeded to wreak havoc on the jetliner markets. And in reality, it was a consortium of companies that had been around since World War I, and they were having their clock cleaned by U.S. jetliner manufacturers. And they said, hey, either we pool together, create something new, or we die. And sure enough, the only one of them that didn't join was Fokker. And well, 30 years later, they died. So the idea that, oh yes, this is an example of that, basically one single company suddenly getting into this market, that's a complete misreading of history.
The subject of subsidies by governments to airframe manufacturers comes up again and again and again. What is the long-term solution to this kind of controversy?
I think it would be good to see some kind of multilateral agreement on limits. But on the other hand, it's hard to imagine people coming up with a coherent set of standards. I think most likely the market does a pretty good job of deciding. And I think if Boeing were smart, it would have just let the market decide it. The likely outcome for the C-Series was some degree of market success, but a very limited one. And frankly, some serious public money was required. I don't think it was exactly a model for future jetliner programs. The only thing that could make it into a bigger success is if Boeing effectively creates the conditions for Justin Trudeau's government to provide additional support. And frankly, I think they just created exactly those conditions. In other words, government support for jetliner industries is frequently its own punishment. It results in loss-making programs, which the C-Series almost certainly would have been. And the way to deal with that is to frankly just let it be rather than create it into something that it really isn't, a major threat.
Well, Bombardier says it has deals pending in China and Indonesia. How substantial are those deals for the C-Series, and are they enough to make up for the loss of the U.S. market if that happens?
Well, we'll see. They've been promising deals in Asia and elsewhere for quite some time now. I mean, it's been the better part of a decade, and they have just over 300 orders compared to literally tens of thousands of next-generation jetliners at Airbus and Boeing, which, of course, makes this whole thing even more, I guess, quixotic, frankly. Just Boeing going crazy over the idea that a program with marginal commercial results is somehow a truly huge threat, which it really isn't. Now, can the C-Series survive? I would argue it's actually in slightly better shape now. I think it was very difficult for Ottawa to provide the sort of support that the C-Series needs before this happened. And now that it has happened, I think from the sound of it, many Canadians are suddenly thinking, hey, this is really unfair. This is deeply politicized, and they're going after Canadian aerospace. Before this, I don't think there was a whole lot of sympathy for Bombardier, and now there is, quite frankly. That could even result in Justin Trudeau's government basically being a lot more aggressive about selling the C-Series at a government level. And that sort of thing doesn't really happen very much in the jetliner business these days, but now they now have every justification in the world because of the unilateral trade action by the U.S. that'll be seen as politicized.
Okay. The Trump administration has not exactly been sweet on Boeing. Do you see it going to the mat for Boeing in this dispute?
Well, it's very funny. When Trump was elected, his first target was Boeing when he went after Air Force One. But after that, I think the Boeing folks learned how to work the system. They realized they were dealing with someone who simply wanted to be flattered. And since then, they've actually done extremely well. He's promoted Super Hornet sales abroad. He's promised additional Super Hornet orders. He's given speeches in Boeing factories. He seems to be, I think they've realized that it's better to have the school bully on your side. And in a lot of ways, I think that's how this whole thing got started. They saw Trump going after Canada on softwood lumber and dairy exports and said, you know, we can help him appeal to the economic nationalist wing of his base. And get something out of it, too. This is just a no-brainer. Let's do it. And they didn't think about the second-order effects.
Well, as always, we appreciate your insights, Richard. It's Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by IFR Magazine, the magazine for the accomplished pilot.